بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا، فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we think that risk is what we own. But reality may be to the contrary. Let me tell you something. There is a person I know. I've seen this place. I don't know him personally, but I have heard about him. And my very good friend, Ibrahim Patel from Umzinto in KwaZulu-Natal, took me to see this collection of Ferraris. I'm asking Omer to send the link, I'm sending a link to send with this particular Fajr reminder. So the collection of Ferraris in Umzinto. Now I really don't know how many cars the man has there actually, but it's a amazing thing. It's a huge collection, and I've never seen anything like this, and I don't know how many of you would have seen it. Now you might say, well, this is the man's risk. But my view of this is that this is not the man's risk. This is the risk of all the people who he employs to take care of these cars. He's put them into this huge warehouse, and inside it's done up like a street with street lights and so on, and all the cars are parked and there are dummy shop fronts and stuff. It's quite nice. I mean, if you see the look of it is very nice. And those of you who are interested in Ferraris and these cars, he calls it his affair with a prancing horse, the Ferrari logo. But the point I'm making here is that it's not a question of what you own. Risk is something which is a responsibility that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And we take it and use it as we like, but we are held accountable for it. Now, yesterday I mentioned the hadith to you where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to somebody who came and complained of financial difficulties, he said to him, give sadaqah. And I said to you that apparently this sounds like advice which is difficult to understand, because if a person is already poor and he's asking for money and you're telling him to give charity, how does it work? The example of this, I recall, you know, the penny dropping and understanding this. Once I was traveling from Madurai to Kanyakumari in the southernmost tip of India, and that road passes through one of the driest places in Tamil Nadu, which is called Tirunelveli district. Now, and this was summer, so it was extremely, extremely hot. It was so incredibly hot, it's unbelievable. Now, by going through that area, it's all agricultural land, but what struck me was how dry it was, as a result of which the land was literally broken up. I mean, it was caked to the extent that it was split. There's not a blade of grass growing in those fields, which normally would have grown. The first crop would be rice immediately, as soon as the monsoon starts, and then they would probably try to get a second crop of something which requires less water, like millet or pulses. But at that time, it was completely and totally dry, and the ground was all cracked and broken up. Now, I have been around farms, and I have been around farmers. And when I say farmers, I mean really very, very poor sharecroppers and people like that. I'm not talking about, big farms and big farmers. I'm talking about people who live in small huts, in grass huts in India, and farm a small piece of land that's there, and that's how they live, and that's how they survive, and they feed their families and so on. So there was this guy. So if you go into a farmer's hut in the summer, peak summer in India, more than likely you will not find him there because he has no work in the village, in the farm. So he would have gone off to the nearest town or city, and he would be probably working on some construction site as a laborer. So he wouldn't be available for you to meet him, but you would probably see his family. And if you look in the hut, generally they are very well, very clean. They very well kept. They sweep them and everything else, and they make sure it's clean. Then you will find in one corner of the hut there will be some pots and pans, a few. There would probably be in the center of the hut there would be a place for a fire where they cook their food. And you will find a sack of some grain, whether it's rice or millet or something, some food grain. So now if you ask the person who's there and you say, well, how are things? He'll say, very tough. We're having difficulty finding one meal a day. So the farmer has gone to work somewhere in the city, so he gets some money. And, the rest of them are trying to do what they can do. So if you look at now this bag of rice, and you know that this will easily last them maybe 2 months, well into the time that the monsoon is expected, and then they can plant their fields and so on. So you would first probably, because if you don't know farming, you will ask the man, why is it that you have kept this bag of rice here and you are not using it? You should be eating it. After all, it's it's food grain. Why are you working hard unnecessarily, so to speak, when you have the food grain? The man will say, no, don't touch it. I said, okay, don't touch it. Then, if you come back to that place once the monsoon starts, once the rains come, then you will find an even more strange thing, which is that the guy will take the same perfectly good to eat food and he will throw it in the ground. Right? He will throw it into the ground. Now you might say this is insane, because on the one hand the guy says he doesn't have enough food to eat, and then now he's got the food, he's throwing it into the earth instead of eating the food. When he could eat it, he didn't eat it. Instead of that, he's now throwing it away. But anyone who knows agriculture understands what the farmer is doing. Why didn't the farmer eat that food? Because it was planting. It was his seed. And what is he doing now when he's throwing it on the ground? He's planting the seed. Right? He's planting the seed. Now, the reason he's planting the seed and the reason he didn't eat it is because if he had eaten the seed, he would have eaten for a month. If he doesn't eat it, then if he makes do with it and he plants it, then he will eat for the whole year. He's throwing it into the ground because that seed is what will give him his harvest. What you hold in your hand is your harvest. What leaves your hand to be plowed into the land is seed. And that seed gives you a harvest, which is far more than whatever you were holding in your hand. And this is the secret behind the hadith of Rasulullah SAW, where he said, if you have difficulties, give sadaqah. Because when you add sadaqah, when you give sadaqah, then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes that sadaqah multiply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats that sadaqah as your seed, and the seed multiplies. And then you eat for the whole of your life. I mentioned to you some of the things to do for rizq yesterday. And this is an explanation of one of them, which was to give sadaqah. Make sadaqah into a practice, right? Absolute practice. Make it into a practice to say that it is something that I will do no matter what is happening. Right? no matter what's happening. Now, that is very, very important. That we understand this, and that we come, that we live our lives in a way where we do what is needed to open the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide you from sources that you cannot imagine, and to help us to understand the secrets of risk, and to take away the any tension that somebody might have concerning that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.